More than 11 months since the end of the 2020 general election, a former Wisconsin State Supreme Court justice is still working on a report looking at what happened in that election. Michael Gabelman was appointed to conduct the investigation by Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and given a deadline of the end of this month. This week, subpoenas came out, then got pulled back again. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this ongoing investigation of the election that's almost a year out at this point? Would you like to know more about what happened? Do you think we know what we need to know at this point? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
A lot of twists and turns to get through this week, Laurel. Can you start us off with the basics, though, about the goals of this investigation being led by the former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman?
So kind of the top line goals that Gabelman has outlined for this investigation is to, one, establish how Wisconsin elections should be run, how they were run in 2020, and any recommendations after his evaluation that he sees fit for changes to Wisconsin elections. Now, it's really important to note that, you know, from the outset, Gabelman has, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who tapped Gabelman to lead this, have had the perspective that things may have gone wrong in the election. You know, I think the word that Voss used when he introduced Gabelman for the first time as the head of this was shenanigans. So we know that, you know, as well, Gabelman went to the pretty controversial Arizona election inquiry this summer. He went to an event hosted by MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. Lindell, of course, has advanced a lot of debunked theories about the election, false claims about the election. So that's part of the conversation of what Gabelman is bringing into this. But as I said before, you know, his stated goals are to outline what should happen, what did happen, and any changes that need to be made.
Okay, here comes subpoenas issued to a bunch of cities for city clerks in five cities, then the mayors of those communities, and then they're gone. What happened?
So it's pretty complicated. Gabelman said last month that subpoenas might be coming for communities that didn't release the records that he thought he needed to conduct the investigation. We saw the first round of subpoenas were for election officials, local election officials. Those came out last week. And then, as you said, we've gotten some this week for the mayors of Wisconsin's five largest cities: Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, Kenosha, and Green Bay. And it's been kind of a bumpy ride. These were issued on Wednesday, and I've been in touch with several representatives of these communities today, and there are ongoing conversations about kind of scaling back what the subpoenas asked for. Because what they did ask for was very, very broad. Essentially, they were asking mayors and all those communities to release all of the documents that they have related to the 2020 election. And the mayor of Madison described this as, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages of documents, just a huge request here. So in light of some of that pushback, there are ongoing conversations now about, you know, scaling that back and what that's going to look like.
And the subpoenas now, they're saying, Gabelman is saying, no, I don't need to meet with you as of now. We only want documents already released to other public records requests. Pretty scaled back from the initial subpoena request.
It is pretty scaled back. And from what I've been able to report today, Rob, it sounds like it's varying a bit from community to community. What you described about, you know, just getting the public records that had previously been released about the election is definitely what's happening in Madison, according to the city attorney there. They said that basically what they're going to do is hand over, and what's been agreed upon is hand over every document that's related to a public records request about the election that's come in since last November. And now, he said that's probably between 20 and 25 individual record requests that are all pretty different, wide-ranging. I heard from Milwaukee, they weren't as specific. They said there are ongoing conversations about limiting what they're going to give, but didn't say anything about that limitation maybe being related to public records requests. I heard from Kenosha that they hadn't had any, at least the representative that I have been in contact with about the subpoenas in the past, hadn't heard anything about changes going on there quite yet. So this does seem to be a pretty fluid conversation about, you know, what these document releases are going to look like. And then, as you said, there are interviews that are part of this too. And in Madison, the interview has been postponed until they look at those public record documents and decide, the investigators decide what they want to, you know, talk about.
Talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about the investigation of Wisconsin's elections from last year, led by a former Supreme Court justice in the state. Laurel, good thing I follow along at WPR.org. I see a new piece you have up on another aspect of this. A judge says information about this investigation has to be made public after a lawsuit. What's going on there?
Yeah, so that's very fresh news just in the last few minutes. A Dane County judge has ordered Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who spearheaded this investigation, to release some records about the investigation that a number of groups have been seeking for a while now. The group that filed this lawsuit is called American Oversight. The Dane County judge ruled in their favor and said that Voss has been inappropriately withholding the documents that they want to see about the investigation, and that he needs to immediately release them. If he doesn't agree to do so, he is ordered under the judge's action today to appear in court in early November. So Voss could appeal this. We don't have a comment from his office quite yet, but this is obviously a pretty big development that could, if the records are released, give us some more insight into kind of the behind-the-scenes workings of how this investigation is structured.
Bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chuck is with us in Fort Atkinson. Chuck, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up?
I think the investigation, where all of a sudden they're stopping the subpoenas and the interviews, just indicates that they really don't know what they are going after. They don't really have a plan. It was hastily put together. Specifically, when Assembly Leader Voss was spanked by Donald Trump, saying you should look into this, all of a sudden there's an investigation. So I don't think that they're going to find anything that they're looking for, even though they thinly veil it as this is, we want to make sure elections are good and we want to change things that are bad, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a thin veil for doing another fruitless investigation costing a lot of money.
Chuck, thanks for the call. We may not know all the answers to what Chuck was saying until we see some of those documents we were just talking about, if that judge's ruling is upheld. But has that been some of the criticism, Laurel, the response to this investigation, especially from Democrats?
Absolutely. And that's been some of the recent pushback on those subpoenas. Just, you know, some folks have said that the breadth and depth of the request of mayors to release all documents that they have pertaining to the election shows that the investigation is unfocused. It doesn't know what it's looking for. It doesn't have particular concerns. There aren't things that, you know, it has evidence about that it's looking into specifically, for example. So that's certainly part of the ongoing conversation, and the criticism is that this investigation doesn't have an aim, that it's kind of amorphous.
Thanks for that call. And Laurel, I'll let you go. I assume some other element of this story is breaking as we speak, so I'll let you go cover that now.
Always is. Thanks, Rob.
That's Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. She joined us for a look at the latest on the legislature-sponsored investigation into the 2020 election here in Wisconsin. Coming up, a political expert joins us with some commentary on what's going on and where the investigation could lead. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this investigation led by a former state Supreme Court justice appointed by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss? Is there a question you think needs to be answered? Are you worried that this is a waste of time? Do you have questions about what's going on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the 2020 election investigation in Wisconsin being led by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. Subpoenas issued Then some of them retracted quickly. David Cannon is with us, professor of American politics at UW-Madison. He researches elections and election administration, among other things. You can join in with your thoughts or questions on more investigations of last year's election at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you want to see more go into this investigation, or do you think it's time to be done? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David, thanks a lot for joining us again. David, do we have you?
Sorry.
There we go.
Yeah, nope, I am here.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Good to have you. So what are your thoughts on the investigation as it's gone so far and the twists and turns we were just talking about this week?
Well, one thing I think is an important point to start with, and that is that I think listeners need to be reminded that this election had the highest turnout in 100 years. We had more people voting in this election than any election in a century, and this was done during a pandemic. So I think we need to like remember what an unusual election this was, and the fact that we had more than twice as many people voting by mail in most states. So a new mode of voting that election clerks had to deal with. And despite all of that, this was seen by experts to be the most secure election we ever had. So that's the kind of the background starting point for even talking about something like an investigation of this unusual election. And so in terms of how this has gone so far, I think it got off on really the wrong foot, which is, you know, pretty clearly partisan intent that was aimed at looking at these conspiracy theories as the basis for trying to figure out what was going on in this election, which is exactly the wrong starting point, I think, if you want to really improve the conduct of elections, which one would hope is the purpose of an investigation like this. Because if the intent is to try to figure out how to have the better administration election during a pandemic, that is something, it's a lesson we could learn, I think, but it doesn't appear to be the focus so far.
Right. And we had heard from former Justice Gableman soon after the election claiming that it had been stolen without citing evidence. We don't know who all is on the investigation, but at least one name is a former White House lawyer during the Trump administration who had also claimed that the election was stolen prior to being involved with this investigation. Does that create some doubt about, the intent and the outcome of the investigation?
Well, absolutely. I think there's really no pretense of having this be an objective investigation. That the fact that, you know, as Laurel mentioned, you know, he went to Arizona to look at how they were doing that audit that was, you know, roundly criticized by both parties as just being, you know, not conducted in a reasonable manner. And then, you know, going to South Dakota and meeting with MyPillow, Mike Lindell, who's like the, you know, chief conspiracy theorist when it comes to election administration. So this, if you're trying to establish the credibility of an investigation, that's not the way you go about it. And so I think that, you know, almost from the beginning, this didn't seem like this was going to be anything like an objective investigation.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Pat is with us in Green Bay. Pat, hello.
Good afternoon. I guess, first of all, it seems like somebody's not going to be happy until he gets his own way. And the second thing, who's paying for all of this? Are we the taxpayers paying for it? Because if we are, they're wasting my money and everybody else's money. I've never seen somebody throw such a temper tantrum because they didn't get their own way. I mean, that's what this comes down to.
Pat.
Well, right. So it's an important point, yeah, that Pat makes there in terms of the price tag of this. It's about $680,000 of taxpayers' money. And this comes on the, you know, after we had the official recount of the election that the Trump campaign for. They spent $3 million to do the official recount of Dane County and Milwaukee County. They chose to focus on those two Democratic counties. And after that $3 million, Joe Biden had 87 more votes out of, you know, 3 million votes cast. It was that accurate. Well, that was statewide. So those two cities, it would be, you know, for Dane and Milwaukee, is, you know, a lot less than that. But still, 87 votes more for Joe Biden after that $3 million was spent. But on the Gableman investigation, it's $680,000 of taxpayers' money.
Thanks for that call. One case that's been made by supporters of investigations here in Wisconsin and elsewhere is, Well, if nothing's wrong, great. We don't find anything in the investigation. If we do find problems in the way we run elections, great. We can improve them in the future. So we don't really lose anything. This is important enough to be worth this kind of investment. What do you say to that, David?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think that there are some legitimate things that we could look into and learn from an investigation of this unusual election that we had in 2020 in terms of, you know, running it during a pandemic. And I think there are some legitimate questions that can be raised about things like the $10 million that came from the Zuckerberg organization, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, where they gave grants to 200 different Wisconsin communities to help them run the election. Now, that's something that, you know, I think it's reasonable to try to figure out how that money was spent. That is a valid thing to investigate. Another thing I know that some Republican state legislators are concerned about were the varying rules from city to city, from county to county, on how the absentee ballots were being treated, with the whether or not they required a witness signature or not, based on someone being indefinitely confined. And some counties, some municipalities were more generous in defining indefinitely confined, if someone was worried about getting COVID and didn't want to have a witness, you know, sign their ballot. And so, you know, thinking about things like that and maybe having, you know, some standard for the next time we have an election in a pandemic would be good to do. So, yes, I think there are some legitimate things to look at in terms of improving the conduct of elections.
When we see these, like the audit, as some people have called it in Arizona, raising questions, procedural questions about the way a locality ran the election, as you were just talking about, the idea isn't, oh, we can fix that in the future. I think the suggestion is, therefore, we should throw out ballots cast in the ways that didn't meet standards in other communities. Is that something you're getting the impression that people are saying, because of these procedural differences we have, we should not count that set, or should not have counted that set of ballots?
No, most people don't make that claim. And that claim has been rejected in dozens of federal courts. Mm-hmm. And so that's not something that's going to happen. In fact, Gabelman himself said that the purpose of this investigation is not to overturn the result of the 2020 election. So that is not something that they're asking for or thinking, you know, should be the result of their investigation.
Talking to David Cannon from UW-Madison, looking at the ongoing investigation of the Wisconsin election in 2020. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Joan is with us in Eau Claire. Joan, hi.
Good afternoon. The reason that this whole investigation into Wisconsin election of 2020, the presidential election, is because Ron Voss is trying to appease Trump. Or cozy up to him, that's the nicest way I can say it, to Trump, because Trump had made some mention of Robin Voss covering up something in the Wisconsin election. That's the presidential election in 2020. Well, what happened is that a lot of Wisconsin voters voted, and they have no evidence coming forward as to why they want to investigate. We as Wisconsin taxpayers get to pay about $700,000 because Trump didn't get his way. And so he pushed on Robin Voss. And your previous caller had indicated someone didn't get their way, and so now they're throwing a fit or whatever.
Joan, thanks for the call. David, how important do you see pressure from former President Trump in inspiring these kind of investigations?
Well, it clearly is something. Again, this isn't just Wisconsin. This is happening in several other states around the country as well. And so, and Trump has been pretty persistent in pressuring state officials. We also just had that Senate report released a couple of days ago about the pressure on the Justice Department that was happening. There was more evidence that came out there about what's happening in Georgia, you know, in January, and the last minute pressure on Mike Pence. And so, yeah, President Trump has been pretty single-minded in his focus on trying to keep attention on the 2020 election and his claim that he was, yeah, robbed of the election. But again, every investigation so far has shown that there is just no basis for those claims.
Thanks, Joan. We'll be talking about that Senate report on the show on Monday. In our last minute, David, do you worry about the impact of these investigations on the electoral system in the country?
I do. I mean, the thing that I most worry about is that it will undermine confidence in our elections, where again, that's why I wanted to start with that point that I made about how this was the highest turnout election in 100 years with the most secure election that we've ever had. And we need to be collectively patting on the back our election officials who pulled that off. And so anything that sort of undermines confidence in that sort of amazing feat that happened is really unfortunate. And I hope that that isn't the result of this investigation.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
That's David Cannon, professor of American politics at UW-Madison. Earlier, we talked to WPR State Capitol Laurel White. We talked with both of them about the developing story around the investigation into the 2020 election in Wisconsin, led by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. News has been breaking on that story all through the week. You can follow Laurel's reporting over at WPR.org.